Hey guys, welcome back to the Wisdom and Stuff podcast. I'm your host, Daryl Boucher, and this is where we cut through the Christianese and tradition-based thoughts that hinder us from the limitless lifestyles that we as actual children of God are designed to walk in. So let's go ahead and dive into the Word and see what the Holy Spirit has for us today. Oh, praise God. Welcome back. Wisdom and Stuff podcast. This is Daryl Boucher, and we are in part number two of how to walk in and access revelation knowledge. And if you didn't get to go to the first one, I just encourage you to go listen to the first one. But this is really where we begin to operate in a higher way of receiving the things of God. What has happened, obviously, over time is that we have kind of been, I don't know, trained by the world, I guess it were, to receive information or to receive a truth. We're trying to receive truth the same way that the world receives information, and that it can't happen. Truth is different than information, right? Truth is heavenly. Truth is spiritual. Information is basically just you know, comes through our five senses. It has to do with natural laws, natural man, natural earthly principles and precepts. And there's nothing wrong with the information, but that information will never ever equip me to walk in spiritual laws. Natural information will never equip me to walk in spiritual laws. So it doesn't matter how many PhDs I have. It doesn't matter how much information I have. It doesn't matter how much I memorize. I've known people who had memorized, like I knew this one guy. This was a long time ago when I was a teenager. I knew this one guy, he actually had memorized like the whole book of Daniel and maybe even Ezekiel, but I know he knew the whole book of Daniel by heart. And I remember one time, I was just working and me and my brother-in-law, Pat, we were working, making dough at Pizza Harbor and making the dough. And so we're just working in our dough room and the guy comes up, we know him, you know, he's an acquaintance of ours. And he just starts quoting the book of Daniel. I mean, just word for word. He went through, I don't know how many chapters it seemed like an hour or so, he just quoted the book of Daniel. And was just like verse by verse, just quoting it verbatim, and then you know he did that, and then he left, you know, whatever, and we're like, well, that's, you know, we're talking, we're like, that was really cool that he could do that, but the just quoting the Bible doesn't mean that I know anything. It doesn't mean that I, and I'm not trying to say whether he knew anything or not. I'm just saying, you know, the ability to quote the word, the ability to memorize scripture does not equate to spiritual truth. It doesn't equate to spiritual life. There's nothing wrong with, you know, coming to know the word and getting the word of God in your heart and actually meditating the word and doing these different things. But there's a big difference between mental exercises of memorization or even mental exercises of learning versus what we do in revelation knowledge. And even if we understand, it says, we've already read this in Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter says, "You're Christ, the Son of the Living God." And Jesus says, you know, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And then again in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where it says, "Eye has not seen nor ear heard the things that God's prepared for those who love him, but the Spirit has revealed these things to us." Right? So that's why we call it revelation knowledge. It's not knowledge about the book of Revelation. It's actually knowledge that's been revealed to us by heaven itself. And that knowledge, it cannot be replicated on the earth. It's not going to come from flesh and blood. It's not going to come from our five senses. And once again, one of the problems is we've been trained to approach the Word of God like we would an encyclopedia, if anybody still knows what those are, anyway, or like a school textbook or something. And I remember, you know, I was really good at school because I had a good memory. So I could pretty much just, you know, memorize what they wanted me to memorize and then just kind of, you know, regurgitate it on test days and do pretty good. And I was pretty astute. Anyway, I was a good student. School was pretty easy. And so I just, I just memorized things. And I remember one time, this was my sophomore year of high school, and we had in biology class, and we had a new teacher that year. Her name is Miss Julem. And Miss Julem, I remember like one of the first days of class, she's introducing herself, blah, 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 doing this stuff. And she goes, well, she goes, I want to let you know. She goes, I know there's those students out there who pretty much just memorize everything, you know, memorize information. And then they just kind of, you know, get good grades because they memorize it and they just spit it out on test day. And I'm like, thinking, yeah, that's me. Yeah, that's exactly what I do. And she said, well, she goes, you're not going to be able to do it with this class. We're, you know, I do things differently. So you're going to have to actually learn it. You're going to actually have to understand it. Da, 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 da. And I was actually kind of nervous about that because I'm like, yeah, I pretty much just memorize everything and I just write down what you want me to write down and I get good grades. And so I was kind of nervous about that. And we kind of, you know, we went through the term of school and everything. And the thing is, I pretty much memorized things. I wrote it down. I got good grades in that class too. But anyway, the point is that that's not how the kingdom works. Okay. That is, we do not do that in the kingdom of God. This is about our nature, God's nature being the same and us actually walking in the higher ways of God. And we have turned the things of God into a scholastic kind of a program where we've turned it into like an academic type program where we're trying to figure things out, or we want them explained to us. And we want things explained in such a way that we can understand them, but we are, when we say that or when we think that, we're thinking about natural understanding and not spiritual understanding. There are two very different things there. And spiritual understanding comes by revelation knowledge, and it is revealed to us. It is not explained to us. It doesn't say in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that the Holy Spirit will explain these things. There is a whole lot in the Bible that God never explains because he wants to reveal these things. I don't need to have my DNA explained to me. Okay, I am who I am, and my DNA is there, and I don't need it explained to me. It doesn't help me to understand about DNA for me to walk out my DNA. Okay, I know very little about DNA. You know, I know very, very little about it. I know it has to do with like G's and A's and T's and C's or something, but I don't really understand. I've not gone to school for all those things, but I still walk out being a human being as a male on the earth. I walk out my DNA every day without any explanation. And this is what really God, it doesn't, you know, he wants us to have a high level of understanding, but it's not going to come from explanation. It's going to come from revelation. It's going to come from us being, and the greatest thing that gets revealed is us in Christ. It's us as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's us as being partakers of the divine nature of God. It's us as being children of God and what that means. That's the greatest thing that gets revealed to us. Because if all we do is have God revealed to us, now understand, that's there. I'm not diminishing that. You know, we need to have God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit revealed to us. But if we don't know our role in the Godhead, if we don't know our role in the kingdom, if we don't know our role as children, then everything we get revealed about God is just separated from us. And we look at it as some distant thing. We look at it as something we get to observe. We look at it as something that benefits us, but it's just like a benevolence from our Father instead of part of our DNA. And so that's why it has to be revealed. We have to have revealed to us who we are, and the world will never be able to reveal that to us, and it's not equipped to do so. And so when we're talking about having something revealed, we kind of have to think of it like this, like the value of revelation versus explanation or description. Because what we want is our natural mind wants things described, or we want things explained. We want things said a different way so we can, you know, so we can understand it better. And Jesus, who obviously is the best teacher to ever walk the earth, you know, he said things in parables. He said things in ways that would liken things to you know, earthly things to help people out. But yet there's lots of things that he said that he never explained. He never explained eat my flesh and drink my blood. It had to be spiritually discerned, right? And that's exactly what it says, you know, in 1 Corinthians 2, if you read the rest of the chapter. And it says, you know, these things, the natural mind cannot receive these things because they must be spiritually discerned. The natural mind can't receive it. It's impossible for the natural mind. It's impossible for the mind that is run by and limited by the five senses and is run by information. It's impossible for the natural mind to receive the things of God because they have to be spiritually discerned. And so they have to be revealed. and not just described, not just explained. And that's, man, there's so much of this things. You know, when Jesus told his disciples, there's a lot of things I want to tell you right now, but I can't because, you know, the Holy Spirit hasn't come. In Hebrews chapter 5, it says there's some things that the author, I believe was Paul, wanted to talk about. He goes, but I can't because I can see you're dull of hearing. So they're hard to say to you because you're dull of hearing. Not because Paul wasn't a good teacher. It's just because no matter how good a teacher there is on the planet, even Jesus himself said, I can't tell you certain things right now. You're not able to bear them. You're literally not able to bear them. The spiritual truth that is on the inside of Jesus is actually carries a tangible weight to it. It literally will crush you if it comes out of my mouth right now, is what Jesus says. He goes, you're not once the Holy Spirit comes, he'll guide you into all truth. And he'll reveal those things to you. But until they got born again, there were things that no matter how great a teacher was, Jesus was, they couldn't physically stand it. They couldn't stand up under the weight of it. And these are the things that God wants to reveal to us, even the deep things of God, like it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And so just understanding that these are not things that are going to be explained to you. They're going to be revealed. And so if all we're ever looking for is explanation, then we're not going to understand what's really going on. We're not going to actually, we're going to miss it when it's actually revealed to us. Now, once again, like let me just talk about briefly here, the value of revelation versus the value of explanation. So let's just say that I am, in a room at a church or whatever, and I'm standing up on the stage area or the platform, and I have a big, like something that's standing there, but it's draped with a big, cloth or a blanket or something like this. So I have something that's over beside me, and it's draped with a big cloth. And, let's just say it's, 6 feet tall or something like this. It's about my height, but it's, I'm not quite 6 feet, but you know what I'm saying? So it's about my height. And so it's draped with big cloth. Okay. And obviously it's there and it's a mystery. And nobody knows what it is. And so if I were to say to people, and they can see that there's something under there, they can see that. This is like our heart. It's our mind and our heart. Our mind is always knowing that there's something that needs to be revealed. Our mind always knows there's something there that is like there's a mystery that needs to be revealed. Our mind is aware of that. It would be like as if I had that thing standing next to me under that cloth and I preached a whole message and never addressed it. If I preached a whole message, never addressed it, and just said amen, end of the meeting, let's go home, everybody in the place would probably be wondering what was up with the thing under the cloth. They probably wouldn't even hardly be listening to me because they'd be wondering what's under the cloth, And so this is how our mind is. Our mind gets distracted by things, but it knows the whole time there's something under the cloth. There's something that needs to be revealed. There's a part of our identity that needs to be revealed. There's a part of who we are, and there's something missing until it's revealed. There's something that we just don't feel right until it's revealed. We don't feel like we're complete until it's revealed, because it's what's behind the cloth is our identity. It's what Jesus told Peter, after he said, "You're the Christ, Son of the living God," he goes, "Hey, I'm gonna tell you who you are right now. You're Peter, and upon this rock I'm gonna build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it." He began to talk about his call and his identity, and until we have that revealed to us, we are just like wandering around. But that it cannot be explained to us; it has to be revealed. So, like, let's say I'm standing there. Well, I got this big thing under the cloth. And everybody wants to know what's under the cloth. And if I were to do a poll, I'd say, "Hey, who here wants to know what's under the cloth?" I'd say most people would probably raise their hand. And if I were to say, "Okay, let me explain to you what's under the cloth. Let me describe to you what's under the cloth." And so I said, "Okay, it's obviously about 6 feet tall." And let's just say I'm going to say it's as big around as a beach ball. And that's about how wide it is, a beach ball. And it's blue. And it has some brown in it too. But it's blue and it's got some brown and it's about as big around as a beach ball. And parts of it are square and parts of it are round. And so here, let's just say that I am describing it, and I'm describing it as best that I can, and I'm describing, you know, what it's made out of. I'd be like, well, it's made out of metal. It's made out of tin. Okay, and so I'm just describing this thing right now. If those of you right now are listening and you're trying to figure out what this is, I'm just making things up, okay? So I'm not actually describing anything. So let's just not be distracted by your thing going, what is made of tin? What is round and square? What is blue and brown? I'm just making things up as I'm using as an illustration here, okay? I'm actually not describing a physically known thing. So just don't be distracted by that. Anyway, but let's just say, though, that I'm describing what's under the cloth, and here's the problem with that description. Even though I might be accurately, 100% accurately describing it, when people are hearing those words of description, they are limited to their experience to know what I mean by those words. So if I say it's blue, they're limited by their definition of blue. What if they're colorblind? How do they even know what that is? You know what I'm saying? I don't know what colorblind people see or don't see. But what if when they were kids, you know, their parents told them green was actually blue? So now when I say the word blue and their parents told them green was blue, now suddenly that word now suddenly means something different to them. And so I'm describing it perfectly based on my understanding of it, but they're defining it based on their understanding of it. So I could explain it and I could describe it perfectly, but even though I'm saying it perfectly and I'm describing it perfectly, and I couldn't get any more perfect if I tried to be, they will leave that day with a definition of it based on their understanding that's drawing from their past experiences. If I say it's as wide as a beach ball, well, they better know what a beach ball is, right? And so their definition of how wide it is now is subject to their experiences of beach balls. Okay? If I say it's about as big around as a tree. Now, you understand, I've used this illustration before where it's like where I come from in Oregon, we have some pretty big trees. We have much bigger trees in Oregon than they have in other parts of the country. We don't have as big a trees as they have down in Northern California with the redwoods. So if I say it's as big around as a tree, it depends on what part of the country that you're coming from. What is going to define that, right? So no matter how great my illustrations or how great my definitions or how great my explanations, they are still limited to the experiences of the hearer. Okay, so the people hearing them are now defining things based through the filter of their experience, not through the filter of my understanding of it. Now, this is where we have to get clear that God wants us to understand. When the Bible says when it's talking about understanding, when it's talking about spiritual understanding, that word understand actually means to comprehend it the same way the author comprehends it. So when God says he wants me to understand something, when he says I can have all wisdom and spiritual understanding, then that means that I can comprehend the word of God the same way that he comprehends the word of God. Praise God for that. But I can't do that if I'm only reading the word through my five physical senses, because if I'm only reading the word through my five physical senses, then I'm defining the word through my past experiences. Okay, and so this is why just simply describing or explaining or even illustrating a truth is never going to be adequate. There had to be a revealing of it. There has to be a revealing of it. Otherwise, God would have done it a different way. But revelation means I walk up to that cloth, and instead of me describing it to you, instead of me explaining it to you, instead of me illustrating it to you, I literally pull the cloth back, and you can see it. And now it's revealed. It's not explained. It's not described. It's not illustrated. It's revealed. And this is what the Bible says. Jesus said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. 1 Corinthians 2 says, eye has not seen nor heard nor entered the heart of a man the things that God's prepared for them who love him, but they've been revealed by the Holy Spirit. And so this is the difference. And this is where I wanted to make this line of delineation, saying there has to be a drastic contrast between natural knowledge and revelation knowledge. This is why I'm so adamant about this, because natural knowledge, even though you can have it explained perfectly, you can have the best, Jesus himself can be teaching you something, you know, just literally saying verbatim by the Holy Spirit what he wants, what the Holy Spirit wants said, but if it's being filtered through your natural mind, I mean, how many times do the disciples say they understood when they didn't really understand anything? And it's because the perfect teacher, being Jesus, being led only by the Holy Spirit, only saying what he heard his Father say, even though he was saying perfect words, the perfect way, speaking them in love, they were not being understood because of the lack of revelation knowledge. And so we need to make that shift from natural knowledge to revelation knowledge, and we need to abandon and forsake the crutch of natural understanding. Forsake the crutch of having to have it explained in a better way or having it described in a better way. Instead, and this is what I want to get into the next couple of times, is what are the practical steps we can take to engage with the revelation knowledge that's on the inside of us. And I just, the last one and this one, I just really wanted to talk about the limitations of the five senses and the limitations of what we've been trained to do, which is get more explanation or get more definitions or get more whatever it is, and we're trying to figure it out. You're not going to figure it out. If you could figure it out, then God would have said, and the Holy Spirit will tell you information to figure it out. He didn't say that. He said the Holy Spirit will reveal these things, that he has already revealed these things to us. And so it's a revealing of things, not an explaining of things. So Father, we thank you right now for that. We just thank you. I know it's different. I know, Lord God, that we have to unplug from our five senses and how they're used to drawing information, but we do that right now, and even if we don't know how, we know that you can bridge that gap for us, and we simply humble ourselves. We humble ourselves to identify with the nature that freely receives, the nature that receives revelation knowledge freely and easily, and we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for joining us today on Wisdom and Stuff. Don't forget to subscribe to get new updates and check out our podcast page on Podbean to find all our previous posts and full-length messages. We'll see you next time and have a blessed day.